The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to this Feel Good Show with Paul Daner, Mark Salafo. Kick off the weekend, all right? It's the Growler Friday Show. It's Hootay Night.
There it is. Mark, how are we doing? It's Friday. Hootay Light is here. It has survived.
Yeah, we didn't get canceled.
Yes, way to go. Episode two. Here we go.
We're doing it. We made it happen. I'm excited. Free agency is around the corner, and it's fun, at least to be a Bengals fan. It's more fun than it used to be. It does feel like Cincinnati weather to me, where it's just we think we know what should happen, but anything could happen. It could snow. It could be 90. Who knows?
You know, I touched on this with Jay the other day. It's remarkable how much everything has changed in recent years. This used to be the greatest time for me. Everyone else would freak out and have so much to do, and I would just kick my feet up and wait to see what like second string guard they re-signed. You know, it was just there's uninvolved, no real expectations. But now it's busy. It's fun. It's exciting. So it's good. It's a nice time of year for the new Bengals for sure.
Yeah. And you got to be on your toes because there's like only three positions that are settled on this team. Apparently, if you read online, they're going to be getting free agents at every single position. They're going to roll into this season with seven tight ends, six running backs. So that's going to be a lot for you to cover. A lot of stories.
It's only the best of the best, too. It's going to be really hard to cover that many very rich people. So let's kind of recap here. First week in the books for the Growler and Balds Don't Lie, PD and J, this being Hootay Light, coming to you every Friday with Mark and I. And we made it to here. We hope that you have subscribed. If you know, it's wherever you get your podcasts, as they like to say. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us not on Google Podcasts. Sorry. Which is apparently going away, but I just found out it was a thing. I didn't even know Google Podcasts were a thing, and now they're going away.
I've been telling everybody that you have a personal feud with Google, and that's why the show wasn't on Google Podcasts. I'm like, you got to talk to Paul. He doesn't get along with the big algorithm. So yeah,
big alg. You know, we've long talk about people not to fight with. Probably not going to pick a fight with big algorithm. I don't think. I think I need them.
Yeah, we'll do whatever they want us to do.
Yeah. So. Again, this is sort of the lighter version of the podcast that we do to kick off your weekend, but you guys drive it, okay? Send us your questions. Send them to Mark because he is here to ambush me with anything. So if you don't want to ask because you're afraid that I would just draw a line through it, Mark prefers to make me feel awkward. I've asked for that, honestly, and be surprised by wherever you guys want to take this. It's your show. I'm here for Bengals. We're here for whatever and to see where it goes. So make sure you guys are sending your questions in for whatever you'd like us to touch on every week. There'll be tons of news. There's tons of news now. There'll be even more next week. So maybe that'll be part of it, but I'm ready.
And a lot of people think that you're kind of judgy when it comes to questions. So if people are afraid that they're going to get personally judged by Paul, I'm very welcoming. I'll take all your dumb questions, your good questions, and we'll roll them into the questions I hit Paul with. I have one of my own before we jump into all the newsy stuff this week. Wrapping up the combine, from a reporter standpoint, I heard you talking about, you know, the late nights in Indianapolis. What is that like reporting on that kind of stuff? Because in my head, it's a lot of like, okay, it's more about relationship building. You know, you're trying to connect with different sources or coaches out at the late nights that you have. Or is it really just boring watching guys running wind sprints?
I have not watched a single player run with my own eyes in the history of my time covering the combine. I think that's a big misconception of that event and what it is. It is, I mean, there are obviously lots of people that do that. And I think, you know, whether you're talking about the draft, big draft, the draft industrial complex, or any of these people that are really focused on that aspect of it. But when you're, you know, when you're on the team side, when you're on the beat side, it is an exhausting marathon of early morning, lots of, you know, we ended up talking to seven coaches, including coordinators and Duke on the record, and then lots of off the record around, because everyone's just kind of hanging out, and then you eat and everyone goes out to go drink. I mean, that they go walk around Indianapolis, they go to bars, and you never know who you'll run into. That could be people from other teams. It could be agents. It could be coaches. It could be anybody. And you end up, you end up having conversations with you never know who. You meet up with people for coffee, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of that from morning to night, very little sleep. Everyone's kind of exhausted. So by the end of it, you're pretty beat up, but it's more information and relationship building than it is anything to do with, oh, I learned about, you know, the guard from Oregon.
Yeah. Well, that's a very antiquated style of sports reporting. Like, it feels old school that, you know, you're out there at the bars getting tips from all the insiders and that sort of thing. You get to drink on the job. There's not many times that you get to do that, right, during the season.
I think, I view it as like, back in the day, I met some people in my days working the Marriott bar, which I've referenced before, in pharmaceutical sales. And I view it that way. It's like sales. You know, You just sort of, the best time to hang out is usually after the convention. People are sitting around the bar decompressing and you end up talking about God knows what. It's all, you know, if you have enough trust that you're willing to talk, and that's where the bar napkin deal happens. It's where, the next thing you know, I just sold a million stethoscopes and I had a martini, you know? And so off we go is kind of the way that, and that's why. If you pay attention to the news and information about what teams are doing and free agency and all of that, the narrative changes dramatically after the combine week because everybody actually has a better feel. There's so much speculation because teams are trying to figure it out before then. But when everybody shows up there, they have a pretty good idea what they're trying to do. And then a lot of people that have loose lips and are a little leaky end up spreading the word across the league. And next thing you know, you've got a lot of narratives.
That's fun though, because during the season, those rhythms are regular where it's like, here's a press conference, here's the post game. And there's not a lot of like, okay, we're going to beat the bar with this guy and really get the truth behind this story or whatever.
The only thing about that is that you don't want them to think they're trying to get you drunk. Like
that's where the relationship stuff comes in.
Yeah, it might be like, something that pays off. This is what I would do. Like when I say, come, let's have a drink, or hey, you know, buy him a drink. It's like, that's because that's what I would do. And you never want them to think I'm trying to get you drunk and spill all the secrets.
Those drinks aren't on record. Yeah. No, those are off the record drinks. They pay off farther down the line. But that's just interesting to me because, like, with my job, I can drink on the job, I can have a beer on stage. There's not a lot of times I'm expecting you to be slamming beers during the game from the press box, you know? So it's a little bit different environment when you're working sources.
I wish I could. That sounds like a great idea. I can tell you.
I don't know if
I can think of a few seasons. I can tell you a few seasons where I thought about rolling a cooler into the press box. Let's see. 2010, I would love to see
the story right after
2019,
that.
2019. That were, I really don't really need to be paying attention to this game. All right.
Let's jump into some of these questions we've got from people.
Let's do it. Let's see it. What do we got?
It's going to be a crazy couple weeks. So we're going to start right in here. Many people ruling out the big defensive tackle, splashy free agency signing. Last year, though, huge move on the offensive line came out of nowhere. Do you think the Bengals could have another one of those big shock free agency signings this year?
Probably not, but you really don't know how things are going to go. And you're right. I mean, last year certainly was surprising. I mean, that thing came together. It ended up being my most well-read, subscribed to, whatever you want to call it, story from last year was on how the Orlando Brown thing came together, because it was fascinating. It came out of nowhere over about a 48-hour period where no one, I mean, he was on their radar, but he was like, you know, you had to list him at number one on your list because you make a list of five. But he was never one that they even looked at to even think about until he all of a sudden showed up in their laps. So you don't know. I mean, that's always possible that could happen. I don't think so, just because I think they have a clearer view of their needs and entry points there to make it happen at the levels they want to. And the shock only happens because a market comes back to them a little bit, because they're not going to be living at the shocking value. You're not going to be trying to just sign one big guy. So I don't think that will happen. But that's the excitement of next week, is you always end up with some batch of surprises. I mean, a couple of years ago, I mean, they fired out Kappa and Karras 10 minutes into the free agency period, a team that had never paid interior offensive linemen in their lives and never really fully like embraced the first wave, was the first team off the board with two interior offensive linemen. So my days of trying to be specific on how it's going to break down are over. And if you asked Steven Radicevich, their pro scouting director, or Duke Tobin or Zach Taylor today, give me, you know, what you think is going to happen in the first 48 hours, their list is as good as mine, okay? Because they have an idea, but you never really know, because it's wild out there, man. It's wild out there. So I don't think that there will be a shock, but that's why shocks are shocking, because they're outside of the realm of what you expect.
And you're talking about like the market coming back to them too. It did feel like last offseason there were so many fans that were just pulling their hair out because there wasn't any of that early movement that they had the offseason before. You know, you mentioned too just how big that story was for how well read your story on that signing was last offseason. From that standpoint, is there any specific like type of signing that you're personally rooting for from your job perspective? Is there a signing that would, you know, be more interesting for you to cover or move like that? Or is there a player out there that you think, oh, this guy would be an interesting story to cover with Joe Burrow on the Bengals, that sort of thing?
I like to look for players that have won the Good Guy Award for dealing with the media.
Yeah, more good guys.
Good guys. That's, I mean, you want someone to show up that's new, that is a starter, that wants to share his story. And if there is a history of players that, you know, appreciate the media and are good at establishing relationships and wanting to help, and be nice to us, man, that's what I'm looking for. Can you be nice to us?
I like that. Someone that's nice to you personally.
I mean, cause if we're looking at this thing selfishly, I mean, but outside of that, I mean, yeah, you want a name for any number of reasons. You know, I saw Justin Simmons from Denver got released. He was a Pro Bowler, all pro type guy, multiple year Good Guy a winner. So love that. And he's a big name at a position that they'd be making a change at. Like, that would be somebody who I would look at. Okay, it's a name people know, so there's name recognition to write his backstory. Someone who clearly has a good relationship with the media. They don't sign older guys. But I think anybody that has an important change of scenery where they're starting to think about what's next for their career, which could mean interest in building their brand further, doing some things that are outside, you know, of the normal, which is a big deal now in the league, is everyone's trying to follow the Kelce mold and think about their next step in marketing themselves and getting their message out there, that would want to work with you in any capacity that way. Now, no, Bengals fans are like, stop caring about your own profession. It's about winning football games. And I hear you, but from my perspective, that's the type of stuff that you look for, because that can tell the best stories. It can help people understand football and the game better. And so I always look for stuff like that.
So if you're talking though about a player that wants to improve his media profile, maybe do like a big podcast like the Kelce Brothers, they can't come to this market because you've overtaken all the podcast room there is.
There's no more space.
No, no player can start a show. Come on. He's got to compete with you at that point. No, no. They're not going to be able to do it.
I'm happy they can start a show. We have a hole on Tuesdays and Thursdays right now. They want to do their own show with a growler header here, I'm happy. Let's go.
Bring them into the network. Show. Okay.
Let's
I like that.
Player show. I need somebody to do a show that I'm not involved in. That's what I'm all about. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. So from that standpoint, are there any free agents? You mentioned, you know, guys winning the good guy award, any that you're afraid of, any that you don't want to come to Cincinnati, not because of the fit, but because he's got a reputation for being a worse interview or harder player to deal with.
Oh, that's a hard one. Off the top of my head, you don't hear a lot about that. Where it's like, I feel like that's something that this is what happens. Okay. Here's how it works. Bengals sign player. You can't possibly know everyone and their backstories and whatever. The advantage of working at The Athletic, and one of the things that I love about it, is I can instantly get some great insight on everyone. That's super trustworthy. Because I just reach out to whoever our beat person is, and we have the best beat people, in my opinion, in the game, because it's so many people that are on top of their markets. And they'll give me, okay, you know, here's his dad's number and you'll love this person, or look out for that, or they don't talk to media, or he's good in these situations, or whatever, or this is a great part of his story that you could explore further. Here's a reunion connection. Like it's just institutional knowledge that so many people have. And I try to offer that. If like when Jonah Williams signs somewhere, I have lots of stuff that I could inform, you know, he just has a new kid and he's really into being a dad. And he was really excited about the idea of maybe moving to left tackle. And you know, whatever. Having that instantly is huge. That's how I find it out, though. But to tell you right now, like, it would probably take from them saying, oh, you're not, sorry about your luck, bro. You're not going to like this, is where you kind of find out that you're not going to like it. Cause there's so many people, that you have to deal with there that make it really hard. To know everybody and who would be good and who's not great to understand and work with.
That was a good answer, because I'll admit that question was sort of a trap. I just kind of wanted to see if you would just talk to somebody about some players, like, yeah, I really hope this jerk doesn't come, and then just tarnishes your relationship with that guy just out of the chute, you know?
Yeah. Well, Calais Campbell would be great. He like has already won Walter Payton like Man of the Year. And he's old, he's older. He's like, oh, let's go, let's do that. But yeah, the opposite side of that, maybe let me marry. I've got the whole list of free agents in front of me right now. I'll get back to that later.
The bad guy award, that's probably something that you guys probably just keep in house.
We have discussed that has been discussed amongst the Pro Football Writers Association, the concept of having the bad guy award, just so that everybody knows what they're getting themselves into before it ever even happens. But I don't think we want to organizationally have that reputation for distribute. And what would the plaque, like, what's the trophy? What's the plaque look like for the bad guy award? It's just a picture of an athlete giving you the bird. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, for sure. I think some athletes might revel earning that. So I think
that's a point of pride for so many. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. You'd really walk into some extra.
I don't want them trying to earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when their peers are like, oh, you got another bird award this year? Wow.
That's your third. You've been on three teams in 3 years and won the bird at every place.
Yeah, that's just a lead among some of those guys. Obviously, a big theme for next week is going to be, you know, the safety market and what the Bengals might do there. This is a question from Brian on Twitter about free agent safeties. Actually, it's a two-parter. So let's back it up a little bit. This is from A Rags to Riches. He wants to know if he's the only one wondering how come no one is talking about Tyson Anderson being on the roster. He's wondering what they're seeing that tells them that Scott deserved more snaps on defense. He thinks Anderson could be amazing as a safety if he's given a chance. And then so address Tyson Anderson first, and then I've got a part two on safeties I need to ask you.
I don't think Tyson Anderson has ever gotten the chance to really prove that he could be an answer at safety. They're trying to get older there, not younger. And And so, you know, they were last year obviously going to have Dax Hill and Nick Scott get a chance, and then Jordan Battle. All of these are players that were drafted above Tyson Anderson, you know, fifth round pick. They love Tyson Anderson as a reserve safety who could be a star on special teams. And he was kind of developing into that. He missed his whole first year with an injury, which is kind of a red shirt. They kind of faked that injury. I mean, let's be honest.
Okay.
He's just sitting there. And then last year he actually gets hurt after having that great preseason game. I think there was a lot of hope for Tyson Anderson, and they really liked him as a special teamer. And if there would have been injuries there, comfortable with him having to be the guy that steps up. But he is the ultimate fourth safety, like a special team star who in a pinch could come up and play safety for you. But that's kind of what that is. And he can grow if he has another great preseason, you never know. Like, but I think his role was more viewed as the special teams safety type.
Yeah, that does seem, if you had a question, if you thought you had a real pressing need at safety, that he's not going to be the only answer to that this offseason. The part two of this comes from Brian on Twitter. You know, obviously talking about Von Bell and the hole that he left in the defense. If you're looking at this free agent safety class, which one is the Von Bellsiest of the safeties that you could pick up?
Ah, yes, the Von Bellsiest. You know, I mean, the thing about Von Bell, we've talked about trying to recreate signing Von Bell, is he came out of nowhere in that they didn't, people didn't think he'd be available, and then some mess happened in New Orleans, and next thing you know, there he was on day whatever of free agency sitting there, and they said, hey, wow, can't believe he's there. Let's make a move. So the interesting thing is you have approximately 242 veteran safeties currently available. Like, it is unbelievable. Everyone is getting released. Yeah. I've never seen this happen. Between free agent safety and free agent running back, I mean, you just have – it's not good for the Econ 101 supply and demand folks if you're on the player side, okay? Because the prices are going to go down on these guys. Teams are going to get value. Guys that are really good that you don't think you have any business getting for $5, $6, $7 million, I think you're going to. And that's kind of what happened with Von Bell. So who would that be this year? I look at two more high-profile – guys, Darnell Savage from Green Bay, who's coming off a fifth-year option, a former first-round pick, great for Green Bay. People think that he's going to get a big deal, but is anybody going to get a big deal? And if he finds that he's not getting it because there's so many other options now, he comes back to a more comfortable space where the Bengals are like, that's very Von Belly, a dude who's coming off his rookie deal and can come in and be a stud for you. Xavier McKinney would be another one who everybody thought was going to get a ton from the Giants, who was a captain there and a great player and a high pick who could see all of these players bring him back down to a more comfortable space. And maybe then the Bengals come back into the picture. That's very Von Belly to me when you're talking about trying to find that guy. So those would be the two names that probably stick out when you're thinking about how all of these free agent safeties that are out there now are going to affect, you know, the type of player that you can get and that can fit what they're looking for.
I mean, it does seem like an offseason where you can get some really good value in that position. It might also make you feel dumb if you had the player that was earning a ton of money when you could have had the cheaper option, which is sort of, I know you guys have talked about the Joe Mixon stuff, kind of similar in that regard, where you have a highly paid running back and there's going to be a lot of good affordable options out there. Given that there are so many of these safeties, though, do you think that this is going to be something that would happen later in the free agency period and maybe not be one of the top priorities for the team, where it's not going to be a move that happens, you know, like next week?
Running back, well, probably, it's hard to say. Mm-hmm. Running back and safety feel like a game of chicken across the league of who's going to jump in first, who's going to sit there and say, okay, I'll do it now. Because of how many there are, I feel like a lot of people are going to sit back and wait and see, you know, when it shakes out, who's left without who. You know, you want the one that the musical chairs game, and they're left standing there and they're like, all right, I'll take it for $3 million. I thought I was going to be in one of those chairs, though. And so I think everyone's going to be waiting to see what that is, which I think will slow down both of those. So I don't, you know, what does that look like? Is that Thursday or Friday? Does that go through the weekend? Are we tracking Darnell Savage at Kenwood Mall? I certainly hope so. We need Darnell Savage and Joey Votto pushing carts together at the Whole Foods in Kenwood. And we could really be on to something here for,
maybe we should do like a live free agency show just from Kenwood Mall, you know, just on the lookout for whatever. Anytime we see somebody that looks like they could be a player, we'll just pull them on, do a quick interview with somebody. And, you know, that does remind me, the only time, like, I spent 18 months as Mo's first producer, you know, as we were getting his show off the ground, and we did get an intern banned from Kenwood Mall, which,
how'd you do that? For going over there, talking to people?
Well, we sent him out there to get, I think we dressed him up as Uncle Sam and then sent him out there just to tell people to vote for the show. I don't even remember what the reason was specifically, but yeah, some rent-a-cop ended up kicking him out of the mall permanently. And I don't think he had the power to do that, but I think the guy could have just gone to the parking lot and taken off the giant hat and walked back in. But
I always like the people like at the, in tax season, that stand out in front of the tax places dressed like the Statue of Liberty or something and are forced to dance. Like it must be in their contract that you can't just be out there holding a sign that says, you know, taxes and cash down with an arrow or something. You have to be out there dressed like the Statue of Liberty and dance at the same time. Like it's just that is, and they don't stop. It's sort of like the Temple Owl mascot has to flap his wings the entire time. It's a part of the deal, or St. Joe's, one of the owls, one of the owls does something like that, maybe. And they have to flap their wings the entire time. And it always felt cruel to me. Like why?
Yeah.
Like you're doing enough. They're doing enough. Why you got to push them this far?
I just like that you think that those people have a contract.
Yes.
Like that is written up, that the Statue of Liberty lady has like an official contract. That's on her resume. She takes that to other places. I've been the tax Statue of Liberty person before.
Here's video of me dancing in 2018 in Deer Park.
Yeah, I was doing the Macarena in 2006. Here it is. Look at that form. Hire me for tax season. Those people are just one step above the wacky inflatable arm guy. I don't think there's paperwork involved with these jobs.
No, I think there is. There's paperwork. You both write your name and you write number one, wear costume. Number two, dance continuously. Sign here. That's it. That's all it says. That's what they need to happen. And they don't want to see any breaches of contract on the $20 they're giving you to do this.
Yeah, they're like, they pull you in at the end of the day. Listen, we had a secret shopper drive by the road 3 hours ago. They got video of you half-heartedly doing the dance. So you're docking your pay here, 25%, as in your contract. That's why you write those up, I suppose.
I love it.
This is a good time, too, since we're mentioning, you know, advertising. If you want to advertise on the podcast, we will not probably show up at your place of work as a Statue of Liberty. I was going to say, you know, maybe we'll do a live show, but we're not going to be Statue of Liberty style. But maybe we should hire our own Statue of Liberty to get people to listen to the podcast. I don't know where we would put them in this city.
That's a great question. I mean, where, you know where we could put them? We could put them just walking along the side of the Norwood Lateral for people that are frustrated once it shuts down and like getting detoured off to the side in frustration. And we could be like, this can make you happy, right? And they're all sitting there, they're backed up in traffic and they're already in their cars. So they just quickly switch over to our podcast and subscribe. That's what I think they just walk along the side of the Norwood Lateral with a sign.
Okay. Yeah. We are now hiring that position. So if you want to send us your resumes and any previous work experience, go ahead and email that to us.
Yeah. I'll take all videos of you dancing on the side of the street.
I don't want people though to think our podcast is why the lateral is closed. If they're like, what are they doing here? Oh, it's just podcast advertising. They've closed the highway for podcast advertising.
We're not responsible for any of this. They're doing very important work, I'm told.
We did. You've been told. They are doing important work.
Yeah.
We do have an email question here from a listener, which we always encourage. This just says, welcome aboard. I listened to last week's Who Day Light while driving back from practice of a T-ball team I'm coaching. Mm. So it's nice to hear you both understand the struggle. In light of that and last week's proposed combatives, can you ask Paul why his assistant baseball coaches still have a job?
it's a great, I mean, because we haven't done anything yet. We had one meeting. We only had one major meeting, so we haven't had any reason yet. But you know, they're under a close eye, obviously, because that's what I think. When you're the head coach, you always think of how can I fire this person as quickly as possible is the first thing you want to think of. And they have a job because it's not a job, because we're all there making no money. So I feel like it doesn't even count. I would welcome anyone to show up and like just play catch with the kids. If you can pass a background check, because that's really all that we're just looking for, anyone that can stand out here. And you know, just it, they're six. Okay. We're not saying the development is just not happening with the infield coach.
Well, that would be a weird vibe too. If you're like, all right, we all want to be assistant. Nobody wants to be the head coach. Finally, you volunteer to step up and your first move is firing the entire staff. Just, you know what? I'm taking this absolute power. You clowns are out of here.
Yes. Bill Belichick style, no days off, right?
Yeah.
It's just grinding people. That's all it's what it's about, trying to just push them down until they're done with me.
Part two of his question were, are any of the team snack providers already on the hot seat? Is Debbie one wrinkly Clementine away from being shown the door? Snacks are important. Like that, if you coach youth sports, like that is pretty much, snacks and drinks are the paramount thing that you can do to keep your kids happy after an athletic contest.
There is no question. It's like people say, really the second most important coach in the building is the offensive line coach. I feel that way about the snack director of snacks. Like that is a critical position, and you can't have a game that goes by and someone forgot it was their turn and we don't have anything. You've just ruined the game for the children. So that is important. You know, I feel like that's a pretty good corollary there. Director of snacks is the offensive line coach of T-ball, and I plan on treating it as such with a very close eye.
Even coaching girls youth soccer, I learned an early in my tenure as a coach to have the backup drinks and snacks, because there's going to be a parent that drops the ball, even though they had one job to do, and it's going to crush all these little girls. So if you have some extra goldfish and, you know, juice boxes in your car, you can save the day. You know, those games aren't won and lost on the field. It's before, and that's not before in practice. That's before in what drinks and snacks you bring to the game.
Yes. Always, always have a giant like Costco box of goldfish in your car in need of in case of emergency. Just always be prepared. You know,
it is crazy.
Don't get ready. Stay ready.
Absolutely. And what is crazy is the lengths that some parents will go to. They'll come with like pre-packaged like gift bags for each child that has like a healthy snack, a sweet snack, a juice box, a little toy. It's like, what? This isn't a birthday party.
I don't need that. All right. We should switch out of our Q&As, and we'll get to some of our questions here that we have for each other.
Yeah, so my question, obviously free agency is right on the corner. And we talked a little bit about just the combine and how much you love to drink, but the rhythms of the job, right? Just the rhythms of being a sports reporter. Obviously in season, it's very formulaic of like, you know, when the games are, when the post-game access is, what types of stories you're going to kind of need throughout the week. How does that change for free agency? Because you're not always dealing with the same people anymore. It's more players, there's agents. And how difficult is that switch to report on something like free agency than just regular season games?
Well, the nice thing about the season is that you can count on everything. You lose your weekends, but you know the structure. You know when your time off is. Everybody gets used to it. It's playing the same song over and over and over again. This is much more like, it'd be like Pandora. You don't know what song's coming next, or if you're going to hate it, if you're going to try to skip. It's just, you're always a little more on call, and you're more reliant, you know, just on people that you know, any just hearing stuff, whether it is, agents, coaches, players, whatever. Like you're more on the phones all the time, and just the all hours nature of, there's nothing worse than waking up to something that happened overnight. Like that's just like, can I sleep, you know? Or like you question, when can I sneak in a shower just in case, because you're waiting on calls from like four different people. So free agency sucks in that way, but it's 1 week really where it's like that. Next week will be like that, and after that, like, it's never that big of a deal if you miss you know, a little bit of something here or there. But yeah, this one week is kind of the one where you just, I hate having the having to have the phone all the time. But so that's the biggest difference.
One week of not showering. That's not too bad.
I do still shower. You just are like worried when you do. And well,
it's not what I heard. I heard that you boycott the shower. Your family must love that. Just being around you for that week.
I have one for you. So I'm here talking about, my sources. Do you have any sources for me? Do you have something that you can help me with? Like that I can kind of, you know,
I'll throw this tip to you. And if you want to follow up on this with your investigative skills, that's up to you. But I heard this from another comedian who was working at a Funny Bone.
Oh.
And after the show, an audience member told him that his friend was friends with a cheerleader for the Cincinnati Bengals, who told him, who told the boyfriend, who told the friend, who told the audience member, who told the comedian, who told me that Joe Burrow had the thing on his wrist, not because of any, you know, discomfort or anything he had before, but because he punched a wall after losing a video game. And that's what really started this whole wrist saga. So my question to you is, how concerned do we need to be that Joe Burrow is not good at video games?
Wow.
That's a big one.
That is a big one. I mean,
Michael Jordan's not losing games to people. He's winning. It doesn't matter what the contest is.
We need a breaking news sounder on this show. I didn't realize it was going to be like that. Well, first of all, we know he plays video. He plays video games with his high school buddies like every Monday. That's or Tuesday. It's part of his routine.
Yeah, but we thought he was good at video games, and it comes out now that he's not.
Well, I feel like he plays at a high level. So you can't – it's like – you know, I'm not going to hate on the guy who, you know, you always hear these guys who went to a great college program and, of course, didn't lose much in high school because they're great. And then you got to ask them when they're rookie year how hard it is for them to deal with having lost seven games. Well, it doesn't mean they stink. You're 9-7 or 10-7. They just lost seven games. You're just not used to that. So I think Burrow just plays at that NFL level of Smash Brothers, right?
Yeah.
Which is,
I don't know how the cheerleader found this out. That was never explained to me. So I'm left wondering if that's not a rumor that's going around the building that you probably would have heard. I'm just left to assume that this cheerleader was playing the video game as well.
It's possible. The cheerleaders talk.
Yeah. I mean, and they hear on the little game speaker, you know, she's got the headset around. On. She hears somebody punching a wall. She's like, that's it. That's how it happens.
I'm not here to make any accusations because I don't know any of this, but you would feel like it's possible there could be some fraternization between a cheerleader and a football player. I mean, there's no history of that in the history of sports at any level of cheerleaders and football players getting together, but maybe that could happen. Maybe that would be something that would happen. And then next thing you know, the rumor mill starts swirling.
And that's how it got to her.
Heard from a person who heard from a person and off we go.
Very reputable possibility that he's not good at video games, which would make me rethink everything Burrow, but I don't know where to feel after this. There's only one level of person that's crazier than that conspiracy theorist person, and that is the worst internet commenters. We are lucky to have good comments on, you know, you on your stories on The Athletic. All the YouTube comments have been very positive this week on the new podcast and stuff, but we will still be looking at the comments. I know you famously do not. You claim that at least. Unless you know, somebody will tweet or reply to a tweet of yours on your story, and then, you know, you'll come out and reply to it. And it makes me kind of question your whole I never read the comments thing, but maybe.
I read them when I ask for them, and that's usually about the only time. But go ahead. What do you got?
There is one that I feel like we need to address from Dan Southall. He said he loved Paul and Jay's content. The old podcast was essential listening for any Bengals fan. Delighted to see them back together. Podcast name raises an eyebrow, though. And I believe there was a link included with that.
Yes.
Did you see that one?
Yes. So this came to my attention. There's nothing you never know. Something like this that's kind of a surprise. And we unveil this whole thing, and there's a lot of newness involved. You never want to feel like I forgot something or I made a misstep in this, because this is like months of me planning every little bit by bit and putting this whole thing together. You never want on the first day someone to send you an Urban Dictionary screenshot. Like, that's never what you want. And so I receive an Urban Dictionary screenshot about the growler. and what apparently it means. Now I'm old. I'm an old, right? Like, where I'm not amongst the young that probably have their slang that Urban Dictionary is referencing. So the percentage of you that knew this, I wasn't overwhelmed by people who sent me Urban Dictionary links or had these types of comments, but there weren't zero. There wasn't just one. Which made me wonder, like, how out of the loop? And I realize I am out of the loop. But I feel like, look, what can I do?
I'm more out of the loop than you are. Like, what's the problem with the name?
It is about a not great looking female body part.
So you told me that.
Apparently.
And like, who is walking around with that? Yeah. I mean, that's something that they have to know. They're not just Googling it and seeing like, let's just take a stab here. That's something that they had chambered and ready to go.
Well, I guess there are circles of people that know that this is common. I have, whenever someone has reached out to me that didn't mention it, I have kind of asked like, hey, what do you think about the name? Does it sound, I don't know, dirty to you or anything? And I haven't gotten a whole lot of people that said that it did. So I feel okay. But again, I feel a need to adjust. I feel like we should start going around looking up every podcast name that we can find and putting it in the Urban Dictionary and seeing what's the percentage that you just happen to have something that shows up in there that you didn't even realize. And maybe there's a whole demographic of that.
Yeah, maybe all podcasts are dirty. Maybe that's what it comes down to.
We didn't mean to. So the point, I mean, I hope it's known that this is the name for a certain type of beer that you can get at breweries, which is based off why we named it the Growler Bet before on the old HTPG show, which included the word growl. And so that was the part of why we called it that. It certainly had nothing to do with wanting to be cheeky about such Urban Dictionary things. So, hey, we're going to roll. I'm rolling. I'm not changing it now.
Yeah, okay? You're in too deep. You are in too deep to the female genitalia thing. It's just, I didn't even know. When you told me, I looked it up and I'm like, this can't be true. And the entry that was written there, it checked out. It was written by somebody called the Snatch Investigator. So that person has to be experienced. I don't know how he got his certification, but it sounds legit. So if anybody would know, it would be that sort of investigator, I suppose.
I'm curious how many entries he has put into the Urban Dictionary himself.
I really don't want to know that. I don't want to go any farther into the world of the Snatch Investigator.
Can you search my author in there?
This guy might be the writer of the entire Urban Dictionary. He might have changed the game. But it's up to us to change it back and make sure the growler overtakes female genitalia in terms of, maybe it'll be slang for like the greatest new podcast that shows up about your favorite team. That's what it'll be known as. So
I hope so. I remember specifically when Bill Simmons created The Ringer being like, man, can't believe they used the name of that Johnny Knoxville movie and now no one even thinks about the Johnny Knoxville movie. They just think about the fact that he's created this gazillion dollar podcast network that Spotify bought up. So that's how I prefer to think of it going. Hopefully we don't end up being the lesser known of the two of these items.
I don't even think Johnny Knoxville would have made that comparison. I feel like you stuck up for him more than he would have had his own back on that one.
No doubt. All right. So do you have any more comments that you want to ambush me with?
There's another one on your Dax Hill story, which was very good up there. It's just somebody who wants to ask more of a draft related question. Do the Bengals need to change their approach? It's time that they could learn a lesson. In the first three rounds, you have to pick players that are good at the role that they played in college. Jackson Carmen, Dax Hill, Zach Carter are recent picks that did not play the position in college the way the Bengals had them play it. Do they need to change their approach?
There's projection to every, like, there, I don't necessarily think it's a, I see what you're saying with that, but like everybody's kind of a projection and plays and moves around in college. And you're thinking about people doing other things, 'cause that's where they're set up to do. I see where you're coming from, but I don't think that that's something they're setting out to do. These are guys, like, especially offensive linemen. I feel like half of them, you're like, every best one at a school usually plays left tackle or whatever, but is more of a guard because that's what their physical setup is. There's a projection to everybody. Sometimes it's position change, sometimes it's body type. The guys that are going to show up and do what they did in college exactly and are great at it and were great at it in college are typically guys that were picked in the first round. I mean, that there's just not as many. You still have to start getting into different challenges, and that's why they're around later in the draft. So I hear what you're saying. I think you want to pick people to show up and play what they played because you know what it is, but you're changing how you play no matter what position you play going from college to the NFL. So I think that's always kind of the projection is always kind of part of it, but noted on that. I don't necessarily totally disagree with you.
Yeah, it does feel like it's oversimplifying it a little bit. You know, the college game is different from the pro game, and there's always got to be some of that projection. But it's also easy to cherry pick those picks that didn't work out and just ascribe it to that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, is Zach Carter's role that different from what it was in college?
He moved. I mean, he got bigger and moved inside a little bit. I mean, what they're asking him to do now. But, you know, that's also – it's defensive line. I mean, it's different, but it's not that different. And maybe he just was never really quite the guy anyway. And that's who you're betting on. That's why you got him in where you did in the third round, because he was a guy that would have to move positions and there's a projection there, but he's a great athlete and he did have to do a lot of good things. So that's all part of it. All right. Good comment usage. I don't feel particularly ambushed. And so I feel okay with it. I expected it to be worse and more negative towards myself. And so,
and not just your new project.
Yeah. I think everybody's just being nice right now. I'm sure it'll get much meaner.
Yeah. But you can reach out to me on email, Twitter, however you want to reach me with your questions to ambush Paul. And I will make sure that we do that.
All right. Okay. Comedy time here. Mark, let's go. Where are you? First of all, where are you at next?
Yeah, I've got my plugs.
You're doing the comedy gym. Is that what we're calling it?
The joke gym with our friend Josh Sneed at the Madison Theaters room, Madison Live. Yeah, that's the first Tuesday of every month. That was a fun one. We just did one. Our next one there is April 2nd. Tonight, I am at Northwood Cider Co. in Norwood. I got it right. Last week, I didn't have the name of it, but I've got it now. Northwood Cider tonight. And then I will be at Commonwealth Sanctuary April 6th. That's the next big headlining show at a club in the Cincinnati, Kentucky region. And then I'll be at the Dayton Funny Bone in April with our guy Josh, and the St. Charles Funny Bone in Missouri, April 11th through 14th. So if you're a Missouri listener out there, come to that. And then I'll be at Lexington. And then there's a bunch of other dates on my Instagram. You can get those there.
You know, they break down on our like dashboard, all our listeners by region.
And, ooh, that's good to know.
I know. I kind of want to see how many Missouri people that we have, like how deep I can go. I don't know if I can get all the way down into specific state. I have country popular in the United States. You'll find.
All right. So
shout out to our UK people. Shout out to our UK and Canada people and 22 people in Switzerland. Good to have you on board with us. Huge in Switzerland. I think it's because we're so neutral, you know, we're just we're right down the middle.
Maybe in Switzerland, they just thought that this was a different type of growler show that they were getting.
Yeah.
There's very big urban dictionary people in Switzerland.
Surprised to have 141 listeners from Iran. I didn't see that one coming.
Well, we're going to lose some because it's Iran. You're supposed to pronounce it wrong. So there, that's going to knock us down.
There goes those numbers. That's unfortunate. But anyway, I can't get down to state yet. I'm going to work on that for next week and see if I can. Shout out to our Missouri people.
Yeah, I'm coming to Missouri. For you. Coming to Kentucky.
Do you have any new bits that you are working on? Something from the joke gym that you felt like you really got a good party pump on?
Okay, so one of the things I'm working on from joke gym, and I talked about school last week. This is just about preschool and how high stakes the learning is. Because at Thanksgiving, they gave these kids worksheets in preschool, right? And it was just a blank picture of a turkey. And the instructions said, disguise your turkey so Farmer Tom can't catch him and kill him for Thanksgiving. that is high pressure arts and crafts, right? For a little kid, if you're like, okay, Lindsay, are you any good at disguises? Are you good enough to save a life? That's going to scar a kid. And if you're that teacher, do you only hang half of those pictures, right? Like, oh, what's wrong, Jeremy? You don't see yours up here? Yeah, nobody was fooled by the sunglasses. Try harder. That's what we'll be working on tonight.
These are, you have like the pile on the ground. You cover it in red paint. These are the turkeys that died because you weren't good enough, right?
Also, like you've had kids that age, like they don't remember Thanksgiving. It doesn't matter how hard they try. In 2 days, they're about to go to a family Thanksgiving where they see a giant cooked turkey, probably for the first time that they can remember. So they're going to think they failed no matter what.
The hard part is around Thanksgiving time, it like discussing that you see a real turkey somewhere, or they're talking about real turkeys, and then you got to point out, they're like, wait, well, that's not what we're eating, is it? Like, it really is.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, like it was killed for our delight.
And you don't even want to know where those dino nuggets came from. Not real dino, but you're not going to be pleased with that process either.
Oh, side note. I was at the Joe Burrow had a charity thing this past Sunday, and then there was a reception at the Kroger on the Rhine, and it was a lot of Kroger people, and there were kids asking questions. One kid, shout out this kid, asked Joe Burrow what his favorite dinosaur is. And I thought that was a great question. Can you want to take a stab at Joe Burrow's favorite dinosaur? What you think he would say?
It's got to be the T-Rex because of the small arms, right?
Oh, small arms. No, I felt like T-Rex would have been too cliche of an answer. So he's not a cliche type in that regard. He went pterodactyl.
Oh my gosh, I was going to go pterodactyl.
But I was surprised just to hear him go pterodactyl. I mean, maybe he's just his first couple years of his career. You got to be able to be mobile and fly away. And maybe that's a part of it. But I thought it was a bold decision on his part to go pterodactyl. You know, maybe he'd be more of a raptor guy, but I guess not. Maybe they're cliche now. I don't know.
Yeah, Jurassic Park made them cliche, which is not fair.
So shout out to Joe for going pterodactyl. I liked
and how was the soup that show? Question. Was the soup show fun?
The soup thing?
Yeah. I mean, you got to cover stuff like that. It's
Big check was handed over. People cut carrots. It was fine. Joe was there, right? Like if Joe's somewhere and we're able to be there, we pretty much go.
Yeah. Otherwise you're not going to get that pterodactyl stuff. That kid deserves a little tip from, you know, the media there, giving him the real answers.
Yeah. Now we've got this nugget. All right. We should wrap for some dad life.
Yeah. Well, we did get fact checked.
My
story last week.
We did.
I was doing that gym teacher bit, which I did try at my shows. And I did a private show this past weekend for a Catholic school. I was raising money for the eighth grade class trip to DC. And wow. That was exciting. Yeah, they're sending their eighth graders to storm the Capitol. So we were raising money for that. Any Catholic school, if there's drinking involved, it's a good charity. Church festival. This was a comedy show at a brewery, so this was a good time. But so we got fact checked. I was making a joke about how it's not a smart idea to have the gym teacher giving the puberty talk at the schools. Somebody on Twitter did hit us with that they were listening to it, the first episode. They are an elementary music teacher, and the reason the PE teacher does the puberty talk is because PE teachers are also certified to teach health. Yeah, I can understand that, but they're way more excited about the dodgeball part of their job. Any health teacher, any gym teacher you've had that is also the health teacher, they're way more excited about the gym part. They're not psyched about talking about, you know, young people's bodies and all that kind of stuff. Also, and I asked this crowd because they were raising money for the eighth graders. There were a lot of eighth grade teachers there. I said, does the gym teacher at, you know, Guardian Angels or whatever school this was, do the puberty talk? And they said no, it was not the gym teacher / health teacher at that school.
Oh, are you you're fact checking the fact checker?
I'm rebutting the rebuttal is what I'm doing. And yeah, they said no, it's not the gym teacher at their school. And I will say it is because they just don't do a puberty / sex talk at their school. Maybe that's a Catholic school thing, but yeah, so nobody does it at that school. But technically, it's still a rebuttal to the rebuttal.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm just saying, how hard is it to get a health certification? Is that hard? Like, I don't know. And look, this is me without a health certification. I have no idea. Is that a hard thing to do? Like, how many people have a health certification in education?
I will say that, yeah, it's probably harder to get that certification than whatever the snatch investigator had to fill out to get his paperwork done to alter the Urban Dictionary. But what's new in your dad life?
Well, it's Disney on Ice weekend, Mark.
Oh boy.
You know what that means. It's time to try to fend off the innovators at Disney that know how to take all of your money. I mean, it's incredible. Like, their ability to know exactly how much you are willing to uncomfortably spend to keep the peace at any event, whether you're talking about a Disney World, we're talking about watching something, whether you're talking about going to Disney on Ice. It's like, we have perfectly priced this ridiculous wand for $26.42, because that's just enough for you to be like, fine, I'll get you the wand. But here's how they get you with the wands is when you go in, like, I'm not buying that. I'm not doing it. But as soon as you sit down and you look around the whole arena and they just see everyone with these wands, you have to. Like, you just have to realize, oh, I have to go do it. And you're like, but I'm not. It's worth me dealing with them complaining the whole time. I'm not paying more than $54 for such things, right? And they're like, two wands for $53.96. Like, yeah. Disney, why are you always so perfectly prepared for this moment?
We need those people working on the podcast. We need them doing the ad sales for this thing. They'll be unlocking everything for us.
Yes. So Disney on Ice, they put on an incredible show. Like, we went last year and I was legitimately impressed, but they got the most money possible, and they won't let you bring your own wands in. And they have really serious people at the entry point. Like, if you try to, taking it away from you and throwing it in a garbage can and making children cry without remorse, which I always felt like was a little tough, but that's how serious they are. It's kind of a little bit more like a military operation on the outside than you would think, considering the softness of Disney as a whole.
I wish my kids would get into the Disney stuff. All three of my daughters are kind of anti-princess. They're huge Star Wars kids. They're going through a Star Wars kick right now. So if we make the Disney World plunge, it's going to be because of that someday. But here's why I would prefer the Disney stuff, right? Because my oldest daughter, she's 10, about to turn 11, and she's a nature freak, you know, loves going to the aquarium, wants to save the world and that stuff. So it's like, I would much rather pay to take you to Disney World when instead she wants me to stop global warming. I'm like, I can't do that. We can go to Disney. I'll take you to Disney on Ice. I can't stop global warming. I can't save the oceans. Yeah. Make it a little bit more realistic. Ask. I'll buy the wands. I don't care. I can't get the trash out of the ocean.
I mean, I like her thinking that you could, though. You know, like, that's nice to know that she's thinking that it's possible. But yeah,
right. That's a job my dad can do. He can save the planet.
And we will. If this podcast is successful, by God, we will save the planet. That's right.
One version of the Growler will save the planet. It remains to be seen which one it will be, us or the female genitalia version. But it's the Growler to the rescue for sure.
On that note, that feels like a good wrap. It feels like a good wrap for SI on that one. Nice, tie a nice little bow on that one. Make sure y'all, every Friday, we're going to be here with Who Day Light. And we will, you know, give you, you drive the bus on this one a little bit. And you send us your questions, send them to Mark. You can send them to me, drop them to us on Twitter, X, follow us on Instagram, The Growler Podcast. You can drop stuff in there. And follow along and send us whatever you want us to talk about, and we'll make sure to do that. And we'll be here every Friday. And of course, Balds Don't Lie, myself, Mo, Dave Ninemitz every Monday, myself and Jay on PD&J every Wednesday. Next week will be a wild one because we've got free agency going on. So timing on all of it, we're going to be outdated by the moment we hit publish. But we're going to do our best to make it all work next week. So make sure you guys check back in for all the Bengals free agent signings. Thanks everybody for sending everything in. Mark, I guess we'll see you out there. We'll see you out there in Norwood.
Yeah, right? See Norwood. Me in person.
So come on out and check them out. All right, thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Have a good one, everybody.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.